But what I would do, though, is I would be on, like, some of the mountain finishes or something. And I know there's, like, tours where you can do where, like, you could ride the stages in front of the race. And then when the race comes, you just pull over on the side of the road, cheer them on. And then as they go past, you just finish riding that stage.
No way. That's awesome. You should totally do that.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it is Monday night this week. We're getting a late start with lots to do for episode 164. How are you?
Good. How are you? You had a busy weekend, my friend.
Yeah, we did. We went out Saturday for Clarissa's birthday. So her birthday was a couple weeks ago, but we finally had date night.
Nice. You guys went in the Urban Arrow out.
We did. Yeah, that's the real meaning of Dutch. Yeah, going Dutch. But yeah, we went to the back room in Solvang, and you know we had some awesome beers. They have one. I don't know I forget what it is. It's on the receipt, but I forget the brewery. But it's a 15.9%.
Nice.
Imperial Stout.
Did they serve that in a short tulip 10-ouncer?
5-ouncer.
5-ouncer. Oh, yeah, sorry, 5-ouncer.
And I'll tell you, 5-ouncer takes you just as long as to drink a 16-ounce. It's like, and then you're done, and it's like this thick film is just like, you know, covering every part of your mouth. And before I went to another beer, it's like I had to just cleanse with like a glass of water and kept rinsing, trying to get the it was so amazing, but it's like,
right.
It's just destroyed your palate for anything else you could possibly have. But before that though, I'm going to crack a beer.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, and then we could continue on. So,
right. What do you have tonight?
Yeah. I think I had this on the show before. I know I had its counterpart, Thelonious Monk from
yes.
North Coast Brewing, but I have Prankster tonight.
Oh yeah. I think I've heard Prankster.
Yeah, I've had it, obviously, but I don't. I think I might have had it on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 7.6. It's like a Belgian triple-ish. So what do you have?
Well, this evening I have a Stone Double Exposure. Have you heard of this?
Double Exposure? No. Does it have to do with like how they did the hops or something?
Well, it's a DIPA.
Okay.
A Double Indian Pale Ale with hibiscus and citrus.
Hibiscus.
So we will see how this goes. It is 8.2.
You got me tonight.
Just got you.
Yeah, I'm 7.6. I don't know. I mean, I don't even think they do IBUs with these, but if I had to guess, they're probably around 20. That's usually how these Belgians are.
All right.
But yeah, and then Sunday we went to Montecito. My cousin and her husband and such, they rented a house on the beach.
Nice.
Right down from the Miramar Hotel and everything. And oh, it was awesome, man. You know, we went down to the bar and everything. It was $25 drink night.
$25 a drink?
It's crazy. Well, we walk up there, like the bar on the beach, you know, we're ordering drinks and it's like some coconut thing, or I don't know what they're getting. And the guy's like got a hammer and he's beating on this coconut. And because it's a private club, it's probably like you don't pay. You just say, put it on my tab for the end of the month.
Right.
So we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. Here's this. And, you know, Zarmik pulls out his credit card and then they're like, are you a member? And then they said, let me walk you to the public bar. And then he said, why do you think she walked us? And me and Chuck looked at him and said, because, so we don't make a scene or anything, I guess. I don't know. We weren't going to, but I mean, it was.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, good seeing family and being at the beach. And it was fairly crowded. It was fairly crowded.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't been that way in a while. And then we're going to be down by you guys Saturday. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a birthday party to go to. And then Clarissa may or may not take that Monday off. If she's able to, we'll stay over Monday night.
Right.
I'm sorry. Sunday night. And then if she has to work, though, then we would probably just leave later on after dinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, we've done a lot this week. This week I did the I followed Prime Day. So we celebrated Amazon Prime week or day this week.
Okay. You celebrate by buying a bunch of stuff.
Well, One thing. I just bought one thing.
Oh, okay.
But it was on the cusp of like, do I want to put myself through the agony of buying something that, you know, will choose to torture me for the rest of my life or whatever.
What?
I bought a treadmill. To add to my gym to go right next to the elliptical.
Okay.
And you know, it's a weird commitment that you buy a treadmill and it's like, you know, you're committing to running more or doing more. So
yeah, exactly.
So we'll see how that goes.
You bought work.
Well, we were looking at those spinners that you had when we were up there and we were chatting about that and man, that is insane. So it was like $200 off for the treadmill. So I thought that was quite a deal.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you know, the thing with what we do, we got them refurbished. It's like the old model refurbished. So we got, you know, good prices on them.
Right.
But the other thing though is
But you have like these high end bikes that are in there. You know, I know they're your old beater bikes, but they're Cannondales and you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like you can't ride like the Walmart mountain bike with the knobby tires because the noise alone would drive you insane. You know, on the roller and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing too though is subscription to an app that we use the computer, phone, it's, you know, it's on all the platforms, but called Trainer Road, and that sets up the workouts and runs you through like all the programming and
right.
all that stuff and does the resistance, and so you don't really have to think about it, you know what
yeah.
I mean, and then you just watch TV shows, and when you're really going hard you just put on like Metallica and just go for it.
Well, the treadmill also has like a little subscription to like iFit, they call it.
Okay.
And that they will run you through different courses like Machu Picchu and you.
Oh, okay.
You climb elevations and it mixes up your elevation and your speeds and stuff like that. So it does a similar thing.
Yeah. So it does it more where Trainer Road is more like regimented and it's not necessarily doing it that way. That's more like Zwift.
Oh, okay.
where Zwift you could go on like different routes of the Tour de France
and, right that kind
and
of
things
thing.
Like that, yeah.
And it has like video. I haven't done it yet because I just programmed my own kind
exactly.
of intervals, but it has video that takes you through it. And then kind of like Peloton, it has like live classes you can go run with a group in.
Oh, that's cool.
They're like 3 o'clock in the morning because they're all like East Coast 6 a.m. or something, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, hey, if you're up at 3 a.m. doing it, man, you get it knocked out quick.
That's right.
So give me a tasting note on the beer.
So I tasted with my nose first on this one.
Okay. You have to.
I popped it and the hibiscus just like filled the air, the aroma.
Wow.
It is definitely fruit forward, but you know, it's still a double IPA. So it's nice. It's a little bitter, but not, I think it's too much. It's a little too bitter for the mix of hibiscus, bitter, and then IPA, you know, it's like it doesn't cascade smoothly through all the flavor notes.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, what I had at the back room was this red ale, and Clarissa had one too. Arguably one of the best beers I've had in a very long time. It was outrageously good. It was like a red ale, so the way they did the grains and everything mm-hmm. is how you get the red and all the way they roast them. But the hop schedule, it was very similar to an IPA or maybe a double IPA, I guess, but perfect bitterness. It was really a good beer. And again, I gotta look at the receipt to see what it is.
Right.
But yeah, it was outrageously good.
Yeah.
All right, man. So other than getting the treadmill, anything else? Or was that pretty much the week?
No, that's not the week. So that was that was fun for a couple days. I think I bought it on Tuesday, got it on Thursday, put it together, and it started torturing me on Friday and Saturday.
So is it a paid subscription then, or?
It is. So you get a month for free. So that's where we are right now. We're doing the month for free, but I'm programming a couple of my own together, putting them together, and I have to, because the app is so poorly put together, I have to like create the course that I want on my laptop and then just save it in my profile and then load it up when I get over there.
Gotcha. So you have like an account online or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So we did that. Oh, and we went to Julian yesterday. So on Sunday, we went to Julian.
The pie place?
The pie place. The apple, yeah. The apple orchards there.
Yeah.
And it's very funny. Like we're going back out into Southern California and all our old stomping grounds with the kids and things. And there's kind of a strange thing where the kids are getting older and, you know, we're looking for other things to do. And we remember these places and the things that we did. And there's a nostalgia to them. But sometimes things don't necessarily age as well as you remember. And
that's often the case.
It's a heartbreaking thing. You know, we did Solvang before we went to see you guys and we were walking around Solvang and Solvang was beautiful. And we definitely go back to Solvang and it has a lot to offer us still, I think, with the wineries and the breweries and the Dutch, the Dutch influence and all that stuff. So
Danish.
Oh, Danish. I apologize. So, but thank you for correcting me. You are more local than I. But it has more to offer, and we're definitely going back there. But we went to Julian, and we're like,
Was it crowded?
It was a little bit crowded. It was definitely hot. It was like 95 degrees there.
I believe it.
But, you know, there's that one strip and we walked up and down the strip and, you know, it was nice and it was quaint. But leaving there, Ann and I were like, I don't know if we need to come 3+ hours out of the way to the pie place anymore, you know, like.
Right.
So, you know, it was, if not our last visit, one of the last visits, you know, as we venture out further and farther afield to other newer spots.
But did you bring some pie home? That's the question.
We did not bring pie home. No.
Oh.
No, because I got the treadmill, man. I ate pie there and we left it all in Julian, man. What happens right. In Julian stays in Julian. Like
is that how it works?
That's pie eating as well.
Nice.
And my last thing for the week is I am getting, well, I don't want to I'll curse it right now, but I'm getting good at this trading thing, this stock trading.
Okay.
I've taken a class and I'm trying to kick it up the next level with options trading, but I still don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, perfect.
See,
that's why you're successful. Once you figure it out, then you start losing.
Well, I'm in the paper trading account, so there's no money, right? So there's very little.
What do you mean paper trading?
So when you're learning how to do something, because these are, you know, complex options, they're derivatives, you know, of stocks and things like that and contracts. So as you're piecing together the butterfly, the broken wing condor, and, you know, all these names of different trades that you could put, you know, piece together with multi-leg options, you can do it in a fake account. So they set up a fake account with fake money called paper money. And then you just have, they say, here's 200,000 fake dollars. Go and, you know, make some trades. And I'm like, I don't even know how to sell this stuff anymore. You know, like I'm trying to do it all. And this week I was like, without knowing what to do, just like, you know, tapping a few buttons and, you know, I follow the stocks, you know, cause that's where we started, like just following like stocks that we like and stocks that we saw going through the cycle. And off of that, I just started trading the options on those stocks in the paper account. And it's amazing. The ratios that you can pull off of that are much, much higher than you could with just plain stock buying and selling. So anyway.
So then when do you like do it with real money?
Well, once I figure out what's going on and once I've been humbled by losing some, I think right. 100, I think somebody said I should do 100 paper trades before I move on.
Okay.
And usually, you know, anybody could do it at any time, but to do it in a systematic, you know, cautious way, I think people say 3 to 6 months.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Of paper trading and trying to follow some things and seeing what happens when you put things together.
Yeah. It'll lull you into a false sense of security.
Right, right. And then, you know, the first trade out there, you're like down $10,000 and you're like, oh my God, what did I do?
Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, speaking of trading and you know, the stock market and the beginnings of all this capitalism and so on. America, the motion picture.
Yes.
It, what, a vulgar, crass superhero history movie that is totally accurate?
Is that how you, is that you, is that your phrasing or their phrasing?
All the others was mine. They just said totally accurate.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I just threw that there on the end.
Yeah. I just appreciate the approach and, you know, the RoboCop is in there and like, you know, they have everything in there. So it's a little bit. Something for everyone.
So when you know, okay, you look at the title America, does it remind you of that marionette movie?
Oh yes,
you know, America, F yeah.
What was that? That was it was America. Was it America? It was like police force or something.
World police force or something. Yeah, I forget what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But every time I see the title, I just I sing that song.
That's good marketing.
Well, and the funny thing about it, so then I'm like, all right, let's see. It's an animated movie. And, you know, it's done in like that, I don't know what style of cartoon animation.
I think it's just a simple 2D animation.
It is, but I mean where it's like, you know, you have the big extra big bodies and all that kind of stuff. And,
right.
But then he starts off like, this is America, MF-er, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, it falls right in with the song, you know? And so the trailer just leads you down that. And it's like, it's almost like they're piggybacking off of that jingle.
Right.
So like, you don't forget them when someone else did some of the work. Yeah, I think that's a kind of a brilliant way to do it, really.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, you know, did you ever watch Archer?
Archer, that I don't think so.
Archer was a great show. I've only seen a few episodes of it, but it was like an American spy cartoon.
Okay, no, I have not watched it.
He's like American James Bond.
Oh, okay.
But he's kind of a bumbling guy, and he still gets all the ladies, you know. So it has the markings of that. So the legacy play here is definitely into that space. But America has this great sell on just the colonial time, you know, the revolutionary time frame. I don't know. So I really want to see this.
Yeah. And it has that kind of crass humor.
Yeah.
You know, where the car scene with whoever whatever the general, the British general, I can't remember his name, you know, but Cornwallis or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you know, that's why I said it's a crass superhero, because you have the one woman shooting lightning bolts out of her hands. It just looks insane. But yeah, it looks a lot of fun. I mean, it's on Netflix. It's low hanging fruit. Why not?
Right, right.
And put the boys to bed. Just lower it just enough so they don't hear the bad words. And and then, you know, off you go. And you know, fun will be had.
And Netflix will check yet another box, you know?
What's that box?
No, I mean, just they have all the boxes of everything to check.
Oh, know, so. Yeah, yeah.
So I think this is the Archer, you know, that FX adult swim kind of space where they want a cartoon that's made for grown-ups. And I think they have a couple things.
Adult Swim. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that are like that, but this will definitely round it out.
Yeah, they have a good, at the end of the trailer, they have a good list of voice actors that are in this too, you know. I mean, they kind of lay it out there to say like, and here's everybody that does the voice. You know, so the legacy on the back, I mean on the front end, and then, you know, kind of just like presenting who you have on the back end, and
right,
fun in the middle. And you know, it's like, how do you not watch it? Like I said, I mean, especially like, you know, it's on Netflix. I mean, so again, as I said, it's that low-hanging fruit that it's just there when you're kind of thumbing through on the remote and you're like, I don't know. And you're like, oh, America. Yeah, I remember that one. Okay, let's watch.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So going back 40 years.
Oh, no. 40 years? Are you kidding me?
40 years, yeah.
Ugh, no way.
So I was 10 when this came out. I would say it was in my wheelhouse. I watched.
Okay.
Masters of the Universe Revolution. So He-Man.
He-Man.
They start off with Castle Grayskull.
It's not called He-Man?
No, it's Masters of the Universe. Well, He-Man's not He-Man. It's Masters of the Universe.
I thought it was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, the original. Oh, yeah, maybe. That's it. All right, let's look that up. But Masters of the Universe Revolution, and this is right in there with Thundercats. It's like right from that time frame.
Yes.
Right from that, I don't know, like genre of cartoon, I guess. Where
it's like a style. It's like a style that they... He-Man was the original, right? So it was the beginning of it all. But then they decide that, I think Thundercats must have been the first one that they did, where they just took the characters and they tweaked them. They basically turned them 90 degrees and they said, we'll put together a team and it'll be very similar to this.
Of He-Man people, but with lion heads.
Yeah, it's a hero's journey against Mothra in that one, right? In that one, it's like...
Mothra? No, was it? That's not... No, Mothra is Godzilla.
Godzilla. Well, it was some mummy dude.
Well, and I think, too... Transformers was born out of that era.
Yeah, it was
somewhere in there.
It was definitely in that time frame, but it didn't have this kernel of a cast of characters the way that He-Man and Masters Universe and Thundercats did. And there was a lesser known one that was actually one of my favorites that you might not have heard of, but you might have called. Silverhawks.
Silverhawks.
Silverhawks was the least known of this genre. So,
if I saw it, is it more Japanese?
No, it was definitely American or Americanized.
Okay. I would have to see it to know, but I probably have seen some of it. It's just it didn't stick the way, you know, He-Man did. I mean,
exactly.
You know, I never had the toys, but I had a friend who was a couple years younger, and he had the Castle Grayskull, and he had the characters, and it was a lot of fun back then. And, you know, like I said, this came out when I was right around 10.
10? You didn't have the toys and you were 10?
You know, I think when you're 10, you start coming out of the toy phase, but you're still into, like, the TV phase.
Oh, no. But you were still into Star Wars toys, though, right? You still had Star Wars action figures, or were you getting rid of those?
Well, that would have been Empire. So, yeah, probably still had some Star Wars stuff going on, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say by Jedi, I was out of the toy business.
out of that whole area, yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird. It's like you hit 13, 14, and it's like all of a sudden a switch goes, 12 even, a switch goes off, and you're just like, all right, no more toys, girls. Girls in sports.
Girls in sports.
Right? But yeah, I mean, I don't know where this is playing or where it's streaming or whatever it is, but...
I think it's Netflix too, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I don't know. Maybe I didn't watch it to the end. But I will say, for nostalgic reasons, yes, I will watch. I want to see how they do it. You know, I want to see how they play it out and what the story's about. And if it's actually something that they made good, or is it like something that's just eye candy for small children on TV that has a very shallow story and a very, because they don't give you any exposition. It's just people running around screaming and banging at stuff.
But I think what it's doing is it's like trying to stay true to the original, and like, you know, it's
in trailer form or in story form?
In story form. The stories weren't incredibly deep or the first time around, you know, and kids didn't care the first time around how deep they were.
Well, I'm not expecting deep. I mean, it's He-Man, for crying out loud.
But I mean, usually when you see something like this, you see a reboot or a reimagining, there's something that's deconstructed and then reconstructed so that it draws in the nostalgia play. But I think this feels like, no, we're just doing a straight Masters Universe revelation movie-ish. Is it a movie? I think it seems like a movie.
Well, and what I love about it, too, is it seems like a movie. That's true. It could just be a reboot of the cartoon series.
Yeah.
I never even thought of that.
You know, you do a movie, and then you see how it goes, shmovies. And then you shmovie it.
You know, and the other thing I love about the way it's presented in trailer form here is the music and everything is, like, it's like total 80s presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to love that, man. You got to love that. But yeah, I mean, I'll see what this is. And I mean, if it's a series, I guess we should do more homework sometimes. But if this is a series, I'll watch an episode or two to get a feel, watch it with the boys, and then I'll probably check out. I don't think I would stay in the way we are with like the Bad Batch or anything.
Right.
If it's a movie, yeah, I'll watch the movie, sure.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if it goes, what, I don't know, 15 episodes or something, I'll watch it for nostalgic reasons, and then boys, you're on your own. I'm cooking dinner.
Right. It's a series, so we have that.
It is a series. Does it tell you how many episodes it's running?
It does not at first glance, but you know.
But still, I'll watch a few episodes. Yeah, for sure. So I guess we have a little bit of a theme. Obviously, animation.
Animation, and it's got that same bulky character, you know.
Oh man, I was hoping to get you on that one. Yeah, the big bulky muscle bound guys.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it. You got the second theme. So what have you guys been watching? I mean, you know, we've been watching quite a bit.
Tons of stuff. The thing I'm most excited about is your iPad.
Oh, yeah. Got us a year free Apple TV Plus and Ted Lasso.
That's right. So you've been watching.
Yeah. Today was
episode four or five.
Four, I think.
Okay.
Four episodes in. I have to put it on subtitles.
Which one? The Brits or the Southern accent?
Both. Both. I was going to say I can't understand the British accent, and I can't understand that Kansas City, whatever that is.
Right.
That Ted Lasso has. Oh yeah, it's awesome so far.
So the characters are developing, you're getting into it. Four is the turning point.
Okay.
And it gets really, really strong from here on out. So I know there's no way it could live up to my going on and on about it. But I think we were joking earlier about how I'm rewatching it, how I'm right at episode four as well. And you know,
you'll be done tomorrow.
From rewatching, you know, all the Marvel movies,
right?
When you rewatch something and you pick up on things and you know how the road is going to take you, you get to look at different things along the way.
His jokes are pretty funny, I got to say.
His jokes are funny, and then more than the jokes, the wordplay.
That's what I meant by the jokes. As an example, when she said, "I just spoke to the owner of the sun," and he said, "You spoke to God?"
It's like dad jokes to the 10th power, you know?
But it's the wordplay, though, that you are mentioning, yeah. Right? So it's so funny, but it's so subtle, but it's like, yeah, just the way he, like, twists it in a sense. And he has this uncanny wisdom,
mm-hmm.
Right? This uncanny wisdom that he imparts on people where, you know, he's talking to he kind of wins over the journalist.
Right, right, right. I can't help but to root for him.
Yeah, the journalist was just breaking his balls from the first press conference, and he wins him over, and it's like the guy is going to eat this like extremely hot Indian food with intestinal problems later just to make the cook happy.
Which was like his Uber driver or something, right? Or from earlier
exactly.
in the day or whatever. And it's so funny because Audrey came in, you know, when Anne was taking Bryce to camp or something, Audrey came in and she was bored and she's like, "I want to watch that episode with who's that guy from that newspaper? The episode that's around him. How are we going to find out which episode that is?" So I had already
just asked Ted,
and I said, "No." I said, "Let's look at the list," and there it is: Trent Grimm, the Independent. I was like, the episode is named after the guy himself. So Audrey was like, "Oh, that's so convenient."
Yeah, no, it's a great show. I mean, it's. I would give it three different reviews. I would say one, the Apple product placement is over the top. Right? I get it. It's an Apple original and all that stuff, but the product placement is just like, it's just too in your face, I think.
Right.
The second, I would like to watch with my kids. It's a wholesome kind of a show and stuff, right?
Ah, yes. This is the thing. But you can't.
But it's the vulgarity is getting in the way.
It does.
Right? Because I think there's a lot of good messages. Mm-hmm. And I think there's good messages for young people.
Definitely.
With him as a coach. And I remember I asked you before, I watched like a 5-minute clip or something. Uh-huh. And I'm like, is he a motivational speaker? And you said, no, but he should be.
Right.
You know, and so I think it's those three things. Is I think it's the show is, well, maybe four things, I guess. The show is just a great show. I think the acting, and it's really a lot of fun. The Apple product placement is too much. The message, I think it does have a good underlying message about it's, you know, like just the simple stuff that, you know, it's not about winning or losing, but being your best.
Right.
You know, just that kind of thing. And then, you know, what gets in the way for some young people might be the vulgarities and such.
Yeah. And it's so funny you say that because I don't have a problem watching this with my 15-year-old daughter because she can like discern, you know, a joke from
15's okay.
15's okay. But Bryce at 11 and turning 12, he watched a couple episodes where I was like, oh, you could kind of like grin through it a little bit. But there is stuff where I don't feel like, you know, like, what was it?
Some of the sexual content.
There was, yeah, the old lady. It was the one joke. The old lady. No, I was thinking more of like what motivates him? Blowjobs.
Oh, right.
Like, oh man, like what a great joke, but come on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It is meant for adults, and you could see why Brené Brown, right? Did I say it correctly this time?
Brené Brown,
why she likes it.
Okay.
Because she is a motivational speaker and
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it speaks to her kind of wheelhouse of accountability and forgiveness and everything.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great show.
Yeah. And it grows and everything builds on everything. So you're building to a crescendo
and there's two seasons, correct?
No. Well, the second season will be next month.
Oh, it's not even out yet.
Not even out yet. You're going to fly right into season two. It's going to be amazing. I will have been waiting, rewatching season one like seven times, and you will just fly right into season two.
Well laid plans. Yeah, and then Loki.
Okay.
We didn't see this, so we're behind one, so no spoilers.
1 week. Right, okay.
But I like it better than Wanda.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm enjoying it.
It's got a great mix of action, nostalgia, canon, and everything, right?
Little dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little dark. I don't know where it's going. I like Owen Wilson. You know, Owen Wilson?
Yes, Owen Wilson.
What's his brother's name?
Luke Wilson,
yeah. But yeah, Owen Wilson I like. He's fun. And I didn't know if I would, when we first saw the trailer and like built into it, I didn't think he would be as good as he is in it.
He gets to play something he rarely gets to play, but I have seen him play this this is in within his range from early on when he was getting his chops before he was a big comedic actor, big budget comedic actor and Lightning McQueen. you know, he was in this, what does Audrey call it? Audrey calls the film bros. she totally refers to me.
Is it like Vince Vaughn and all that?
Well, she refers to me like the way that I watch movies, and when I'm like, oh, you have to see this scene in this movie. And, you know, when you and I were talking about Swingers, she was like,
oh, yeah,
this is a film bro movie. Like, he was in that wheelhouse when he was doing Bottle Rockets, and he's best friends with Wes Anderson. So he's in all the Wes Anderson movies, which is total film bro space, you know. So it's like, you know, it's like,
I like that, film bros.
Yeah, he was in it, and he was writing, and he was doing all the stuff. So he had range. But then once you reach a certain point in your professional life, you don't necessarily need to flex that in places all the time. And he hit this great run where he was just playing these nice guys and the good guy and stuff. So this isn't a bad guy per se, but he gets to have a little bit of an edge to him. for once, you know, so it's nice.
Yeah, yeah, where he was the ex-boyfriend who did all the adventure stuff. Amazing. And then the weekly Bad Batch, so we got caught up with that this evening, actually.
Okay.
And then the Tour de France started, so oh. I've been watching. I'm doing the NBC roundup kind of a thing. Okay. So the race is like 5 hours a day. I can't.
Is that on Peacock?
Good question. I don't know. I just in later in the day, because the race starts for us. The race starts at like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, because they're like 9 hours, 10 hours from us, whatever it is. So what I do is I just turn on YouTube and it's already, you know, I'm subscribed to it. It's like the NBC highlight reel.
Okay.
It's like 35 minutes. They hit the highlights. Compact. I'm good to go. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, like, I can't sit and watch 5 hours of guys pedaling bicycles.
Would you be able to watch it if you were there? Would you ever have you been to the Tour de France?
No, I've never been to the Tour de France.
Is that on your bucket list?
Certain stages.
Okay.
I would, I mean, we've been to Paris and stuff, but
right.
We got to Paris. Well, we were in France in Europe while the tour was going on, and we left Paris. Like, we flew out of De Gaulle Airport. I want to say it was like 2 days before the tour came to the finish on the Champs-Élysées.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were setting up all the grandstands and they were getting it all going when we were there.
Packing it. Oh, yeah.
And by the looks of it and the way it would be, it's got to be a zoo.
Yeah.
But what I would do, though, is I would be on like some of the mountain finishes or something. And I know there's like tours where you can do where like you could ride the stages in front of the race. And then when the race comes, you just pull over on the side of the road, cheer them on. And then as they go past, you just finish riding that stage.
No way. That's awesome. You should totally do that. Oh, that's neat.
Say you do like a week tour around. The race is 3 weeks, but say you do a week tour. You start like whatever it is, 3-4 hours in front of them. They catch you because like you're slow, right? And then when they catch you, you pull over and then you just watch the race go by.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then after it all goes by, then you get back on your bike and you kind of finish up and then you're at like whatever hotel for that night or something. But I definitely would like to, but I've been to bike races, you know, here in California and so on. And what it is, you know, and even in the Midwest and such, there's different kinds of races. But for a road race, you're just out there all day drinking.
Yeah.
Barbecuing, whatever you're doing on the side of the road.
And you're waiting for that 5 seconds when they swoosh by you.
Minute and a half. And it whooshes by. And then everyone just goes, you go like totally apeshit and screaming. And then you finish up your burgers and wrap it up and you go home.
Okay.
Yeah, and you go home, you know. But, I mean, you're there because of all the other knuckleheads like you, you know. Like, the race is just like an afterthought, really, because they go by so fast, you know. But yeah, you're just there to have fun with people, really.
Yeah.
But the bike tour thing I would like to do.
No, that sounds like amazing, something amazing to do. It'd be like, you know, Pebble Beach should do it, too. They should be like, you can play around at Pebble Beach. And then when they're coming through, you just move on to the side, let them play through. And
then cheer them on.
Cheer them on. And then when they go
they
by.
They play through and you start swinging up. You start hacking behind them. Right?
Yeah.
You hack in front of them.
They catch up to you. They catch up to
but
you.
You got
to
replace your divots, right? Yeah, that's hilarious. So what have you been up to? What have you been watching?
So we, too, have watched Loki and Bad Batch. Bad Batch is like, you know.
It's dragging.
It's dragging a little bit. I'm liking some of the stuff with Omega.
I like Bane. I've always liked Bane.
Bane?
The blue guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But what's the new one we got? We have not the series. The Mysterious Benedict Society just started.
Yeah, we saw that. And, you know, we put on the Bad Batch today and we were all kind of like, oh, the Mysterious Benedict Society. We got to watch that one, you know, so.
Yeah, I think the boys would like it.
And also what's on the list, too, is Luca.
Luca. So we saw Luca twice this week.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Luca is really, really good. You know, it's Pixar.
It's the fish one, right?
It's Pixar. It's sea monsters that go on land and become humans.
Yeah, the Italian sea monsters, whatever.
Italian sea monsters.
Right.
There's some great allegories, you know. I'll let people draw their own allegories, but, you know, it's about friendship. And believing in your friends and sacrifice when you're in a group of friends. And it was just, it's a nice, you know, wholesome, you know, wholehearted film.
There you go.
Made by Pixar, you know, like, you know, it has the Pixar stamp all over it.
Just the color palette is Pixar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just so beautiful and the music's great. You know, it has this, you know, Italian classical through pop, you know, like, you know, it's beautifully Mediterranean.
Cool. Looking forward to that one.
That was nice. And then we watched Cruella again. We're big Cruella fans.
Have not yet seen it.
And I'm still telling you, I think Psych has got to be one of the best shows on television. Psych from back in the day, old USA TV show with Dulé Hill. And
oh, you're watching it now, I'm assuming.
We're still watching it. We're in season 5 now. It's so funny that it's been going on so strong. You know, you start up something like this when Ann and I started West Wing, or when we started something with the kids, when we started Clone Wars with Bryce, you know, there was always something that within a couple of seasons, it'd be like, oh, it dragged a little bit. Now we're starting to check out.
Now you're doing the work.
We're doing the work. But we're 5 seasons into this, and every single night for dinner, people are like, well, let's watch Psych. Like, it's definitely the 3 of us, Audrey, Bryce, and
what platform?
It's on 2. It's on Peacock and it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
But it's this simple whodunit, you know, it's just like the 2 friends that they're just, again, you know, just best friends their whole lives, you know, and they always start with a little flashback from the 80s. And every year, every season, the flashbacks go to the next year. So the kids that play young Sean and young Gus can continue to play them, even though they're aging here, you know. So it's this nice thing that they've done. And they get great quality characters. And Audrey and I were in line in Julian at the pie store, you know, in a long line as the cash register was broken or something. And we're just standing there. We're like, we're so close and yet we're so far away.
Right.
And I look down at the windowsill. There's like a window. It's the outside of the, you know, the building. And on the windowsill, there's like a little broken piece of wood, right? So like a little lifted piece of wood that snags somebody's coat on the way by. So it has like a little piece of fabric tucked under the edge of this thing, right?
Oh.
So somebody ripped their coat as they're walking by. And I looked at Audrey and I tap her because, you know, Ann and Bryce had gone to secure a table. And I showed her the little fabric caught on the windowsill. And I was like, shwing, 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 because that's the noise, the sound effect that they make when in Psych they're trying to draw attention to a clue. They'll show you a close-up of a clue. They'll highlight it with like colors and stuff. They'll make noise sound effects so that you're drawn to the screen. If you're like taking a spoon of food, or you're in the kitchen getting a drink, and you hear the sound going off in the background, the kids will, you know, Bryce will be getting milk, and we'll hear the sound, and it'll be like, what clue are we being shown? And then we all share, like, oh, they're showing tire treads on the ground. So I was like, this is like Psych in real life, you know, like somebody walked by, and this is the person who did it. If we find the jacket that belongs to this little rip, we'll have who did this crime that was perpetrated.
That broke the piece of wood.
But it's amazing to have a show that's gone this strong for this long, and I sing its praises.
Yeah, so many shows. Yeah, you're so right about that. So many shows, by the time you're to the 5th season, they're just like filling time to sell ads. And that's why people check out, because it's like you told me the story I needed. Now you're just dragging.
right.
But it's funny. I'm looking forward to Cruella, though, because we just watched 101 Dalmatians, and it's hard to sympathize with her.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is so great.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. 100%.
And I haven't seen the show.
Well, how are you going to sympathize with a puppy murderer?
That's what I mean. But it's kind of like Darth Vader, you know, like you can sympathize with him, but like, you know how he kind of becomes all that. And then it's like, he's not as bad of a guy as he presents, let's say, if you just meet him for the first time.
Right.
Where, like I said, we haven't seen Cruella yet, but I'm looking forward to it to see, like, how do they make it so you're on her side?
Right. Exactly. And I think that's, you know, it's the backstory of the villain that is, it's the crux of everything. I mean, I think they did it well with Maleficent. They did it well with Cruella. And then obviously, I think they took three movies to do it with Anakin Skywalker. But
and
it's a mixed bag because, you know, people aren't all in on that. But I think they did it best in the Star Wars franchise with Rogue One. You know, they took the Death Star and they kind of made it this thing and gave the backstory to the Death Star as to why it was what it was.
Exactly.
There's a new platform in at work where you go to sign up vendors, right? So I have to sign up vendors all the time. And we get them access to all of our internal products and different platforms they have to access to send us files and things like that. So I have to give them what we call a My ID. So don't kill me, InfoSec. I'm not giving away, you know, secrets here, but I'm just telling a story. I went and now you can do like folders. So I made a folder and I said, oh, I'm going to put all my vendors in this one folder. But then I realized that I could share this folder with a coworker. So I just said, oh, you have more people in yours. I'll use your folder. So I went to go delete my folder. Right, and it's on a server called Solo. So it's on the Solo server, and it's a Millennium Falcon in the corner. The little Flavicon is in.
Oh, it meant to do it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
and then I went to delete the folder, and it says, "Are you sure you want to delete it?" Right, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sure I want to delete it." They flash up the screenshot. They flash up a little GIF of the photon torpedoes going down into the Death Star. And for like, awesome. And for like half a second, you just see the two photon torpedoes go down into the what is it, the vent, the Womp Rat. Yeah.
It's like shooting Womp Rats. What was it?
Anyway, I thought that was awesome. It was my favorite thing that I did today at work was to delete
Beggar's Canyon.
Beggar's Canyon, that's right. So I deleted a folder, and that was my treat that was given to me. So I can't wait for people to start deleting folders and seeing this for themselves.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Let's see. There was something else that I watched. I think maybe it was Luca. I think it was Luca.
Okay. Yeah, that one I'm looking forward to as well. But we haven't done a lot of movies. We did. I know we talked about it last week was Captain America and Winter Soldier, but we do have our next Marvel is in the timeline version of it is Guardians of the Galaxy. So, and I know the boys are like super excited because Tim's favorite character is the trash panda. And then Mike walks around saying how he's Groot. So I think they watched like the Lego one or something.
Right, right.
Yeah. But yeah, they're excited about it. So we'll probably.
They haven't seen it.
No, not yet. Well, not the
live action.
The live action Marvel.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no.
That's interesting then. Well, I'm looking forward to their reactions.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to my reactions. And these movies sometimes are so confusing. I don't know what's going on. But other than that, I mean, like I said, you know, we haven't done any movies. It's just been all these different shows and stuff and all these episodes.
Too many schmovies to keep up with.
Too many schmovies. And they take up a lot of time because it's like you're doing the episode thing, you know? And
yeah, yeah.
And but they're a lot of fun. You know, I mean, Ted Lasso is... It's as good as you said. I don't know if I'm going to be going through like five times in a row or something, but you never know. Maybe I'll get there.
Oh, you won't have to because you'll have season two to jump right into next month. So,
but then I'll have to. But wait for season three. I'll have to go through season one and season two again.
There you go. There you go. You'll have more to revisit.
All right, man. That's all I got for tonight. Kind of a quick week in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of fun weekend and everything. So that's why we're here on a Monday night. And we'll get the sucker in the can and we'll see you guys on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. And then how'd your beer finish?
Oh, beer finished great. You know, these prankster things, I mean, they're smooth, you know, and I've had them before. I probably had too many before. Like I said, they're along that like golden ale, that Belgian triple type.
That like dunkel or whatever.
Yeah, it has more like that banana-y kind of yeast. Right. You know what I mean? How they are. So, yeah, always one of my favorites. They go down way too smooth. You know, how about yours? I see you're still sipping there.
I'm still sipping mine. Mine has, it has gotten sharper. So it's lost some of the fruit.
Like more of a bite?
Like lost some of the fruitiness.
Okay.
And then now it just has the bitterness. And it's funny because the bitterness by itself is better than when it's competing with the fruitiness and the IPA, you know. So now that it's all bitter, it's better.
Bitter is better. And how's the weather been? Has it been like brutally hot?
It is hot. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get down. Like today, I'm out watering the garden. Like I need a jacket. I'm freezing.
I forget you guys in the hills. It's really crazy. Yeah. You need to pack some shorts.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely be in shorts and stuff. And yeah, Saturday we're going to get there. We're going to go to my cousin's son's birthday.
Uh-huh.
So he's turning 9.
Oh, nice.
And then, yeah. And then we'll be there, you know, before that, after that, and then, you know, Sunday. And like I said, if Lurs is able to take off on Monday, then we'll probably stay that night too.
Cool.
And then the following weekend is Monterey Bay Aquarium. So that'll be fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be a good time.
Have the boys been?
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, first time for them.
You want to talk about something that's heartbreaking. I don't know if we've said this on the show, but when my kids grew out of the Monterey Bay Aquarium, it was heartbreaking because they...
You can grow out of it?
Well, because we went so much.
Oh, okay.
We had like the annual passes because our friends have a house in Los Gatos. So we would just go to Los Gatos and we're like, if you think you're going to be here 3 times in a year, you get the annual pass. And then when you get the annual pass, you're like,
right.
Well, if we go 6 times a year, then it's doubly worth it, you know?
Exactly.
But by the time the kids were like 13, or when Audrey was 12 or 13,
really,
they were there and they were kind of, it was a saturation thing.
Just going too much.
Too much and too frequently. And now they want to go back. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we have other things that we want to do, but the boys will love it. It is a wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there a few times.
Yeah. Like I said, we went there a lot. There's this whole canning facility that where the kids can run around and pretend to be canners, like a canner, because it's Cannery Row, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing that they really grew out of. Was, you know, they would spend 2-3 hours in Cannery Row pretending to be canners, which is ridiculous, you know, taking 10 lunch breaks in, you know, a couple hours, but it was what they did, you know. And I think that's when Audrey kind of grew out of it. And then Bryce thought it wasn't cool because Audrey didn't want to do it anymore, you know.
Yeah, play and pretend that I'm canning tuna.
But I can't wait for the boys to see it for the first time. You know, that's always amazing.
Oh, the sea jellies and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So
awesome.
All right, man. Yeah, and we'll be covering that, I'm sure, you know,
weeks to come, for sure.
Coming up here, you know, late July, early August, we'll probably be talking about it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we're going on the 24th, so probably first week in August or so, somewhere in there, we'll be covering that one.
Well, if I'm back yet, because hopefully, knock on wood, we're going on vacation the end of July.
Nice. To where?
Hawaii for the first time.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Hawaii is pretty, I mean, it's just amazing.
Right. And with the kids, you know, like.
Which islands?
I don't know yet. And has the itinerary.
Oh, okay.
I think we're only doing one island, but I don't know which one. But I think
we
have Pearl Harbor definitely on the thing. On
Oahu.
And we're trying to book everything before we go because we're told you have to book everything, like meals and stuff before we go.
Yeah, Hawaii's weird. I mean, it's. If you're trying to like just show up and do stuff, you can, but it's so touristy that like if you want to go see Pearl Harbor, but you don't book and you just kind of show up, I mean, you'll stand in line for half the day.
Waste a day, yeah.
You know, if you like, if you're just Airbnb in it and you're just trying to like wing it, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you get like book with tour companies and all this stuff, like they'll get you right in, and you know, and it's like it has that inauthentic feel on the tourism side of things,
right?
Like I like going places like, what would it be like to live here,
right?
You know, kind of a thing, right? I could say, though, if we ever went back again, because we've been to Pearl Harbor and stuff, you know, it's like you do it the first time because
you knock it out.
Yeah, it's the way you get to see the stuff. But when we got to Kauai, though, it was just do what you want to do. Go hiking, go fishing, go kayaking. Just, yeah, you know what? You just show up somewhere and there's like a guy with scuba gear. You're like, hey, let's go scuba diving.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll take you out $50. You know, Kauai was really laid back. Oahu, though, was extremely touristy.
Right.
So we were there for 3 days. I don't know if I would ever go back to. I mean, if you've never been to Oahu, you have to go because it's like, you know, that's where the stuff is.
Right.
But it's kind of like Santa Monica, but in Hawaii.
Right. Okay.
I've never been to Maui or any, you know, just Oahu and Kauai, but Kauai was awesome. I mean, super laid back. You know, the problem with Kauai, though, is 7 o'clock, everything's closed.
Oh, okay. All the local.
Yeah, it wraps up real early, you know. And
we have some local, we have Anne made some friends, you know, in Disney Dining who she's never met, but she has family in on the islands. So they're going to hook us up with the family that's still in the islands and see if they can show us a couple things. And there's some swap meet or something that we have to go to, or
well, that's cool. Yeah.
Something, some local flavor that Anne and I definitely like more of the local stuff, but we definitely have to check
for
off
sure.
The tourist stuff first. And this is, it's going to be weird to travel with the kids. Like Anne and I were traveling for many years before the children, you know, like individually and then together. So this is our first.
Yeah. We haven't done much with the boys either, you know?
Yeah. So that this is interesting now that the kids are old enough and we have enough money to put together to take 4 people, you know, places. It's like
expensive,
everything,
you know?
Everything, you know, times 2 is hard. Times 4 is like, oh my God.
I know. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. You have to keep me filled in on the details.
Yeah, you know, right now we still have to do the COVID test before. So we're hoping that gets lifted.
Yeah. And you're talking, you said first week in August?
Yeah. End of July, first week of August. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun. You know, just make sure you pack all your podcasting gear. No, I'm just kidding. All right, man.
All right.
On that note, let's get the heck out of here.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, Ted, later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.